to do is between the Shammai and the Yitzhiva. That tells us in the end of Masechta Sanhedrin that in civil days of the Shammai and the Yitzhiva, there was hardly any Masechta at all. Whenever the Shammai would come up, there was no Masechta, and then there would be debated, and debated and argued, until they would discuss all the possibilities, and then it would all come to a consensus. And that would be it. Everybody would agree. Then the Shiroba Talmud the Shammai Yitzhiva from the Shishu Kofar from the Talmud that the Shammai Yitzhiva didn't spend that much time on learning, they didn't spend enough time on learning by their rabbis, they didn't carry on the full tradition that they should have carried on. So different yeshivas have different ways of looking at the halacha, and then they have many machlokes, and they didn't get together to discuss this amongst themselves. They didn't come to a consensus, and that's why we have in history some of the machlokes. In the beginning of all the big splits and all the different sheets that they didn't combine, it wasn't the Shammai Yitzhak. The Zerach Klal, the Shammai Yitzhak, and I said that they were that the Shammai were the Machlirim, and the Simul were the Mekilim. With a few exceptions to the rule. So there's a Perik in Masechta Eidos, where lists off all of the Kulei Bei Shammai, the Kulei Bei Tzivah. All of the cases were the reverse, that the Shammai was the Meto, and the Kulei was the Machlirim. So all of the cases that I mentioned here, three cases happen to have to do with Yom Tov. There were three arguments between the Shammai and the Kulei, that the Shammai was the Meto, and the Kulei was the Machlirim, that have to do with Yom Tov. And that's the first Mishnah here on Masechta Eidos. First Machlokes is about Mukta, I have to see the Gemara. The second Machlokes is about Balzirot Balimotze. You cannot permit it to have come into your possession in your ownership of Pesach. It is an argument about the details of Balzirot Balimotze. The third Machlokes has something to do with the Peshtika. You should have to tie the earth, so you have to cover over the blood, you have to cover the gun. How exactly you have to consider them into a Peshtika? That is the purpose of the finish. How exactly is it going to assimilate the chief Adam on Yom Tov, if you didn't grind up the sand beforehand, he's going to be violating the Malach or Porkhan or something. So there's at least three instances you have a Machlokes in connection with Yom Tov, whether the Shammai is a Meko and the Tzilah is a Mach. So we'll take one of the five. For the first case, there is a Machlokes, the Shammai, the Tzilah, you're grabbing a base to Shalom with Yom Tov. A chicken gives laid an egg, and then eggs are kosher and eggs are powdered everywhere. All year long, eggs are kosher and eggs are powdered. If it comes, if the eggs are coming from a kosher bowel, the eggs come from an eagle, then they're up. The egg, let's say, comes from a hen, but the hen has a broken leg and comes right at the head of the chaser, and the egg doesn't come to the leg of the chaser. If you have the milk that comes from a pig is not kosher, milk that comes from a cow with a broken leg. But if the cow is rendered as a tracer, so the milk that comes out from a tracer is also produced. We're talking about a kosher hen and a kosher chicken and a kosher fowl. There's nothing to discuss about that. What is the Shammai Yitzhak is that the hen lays the egg on Yom Tov. The hen lays the egg on Shabbos. So what's the problem? So the Shammai says, no problem. Kosher Atok and kosher Nekul, the kosher is fine, but the same is all year long. The Yitzhak say that you're not allowed to eat Saturday. If you're running, no pay off. The Yitzhak should only be under the Shammai says to Yom Tov. Permitted for one to eat that egg even on Yom Tov. And the Yitzhak say, like they are, so you're not allowed to eat that egg, it's a left to Yom Tov as well. What's the Yitzhak? So the Gemara, so before we get to the second and the third chase, you might want to analyze the first chase. So my asking, what kind of a hen is it? And what kind of an egg is it? That is a Shabbos. What's wrong with the egg? That's the hen laying on Yom Tov. So the justice caution on Yom Tov is all year long. So the Gemara gives four explanations. It's so unclear. Couldn't understand why did they do it so differently. The Gemara has four different interpretations given by the Amora. The first Gemara asks, what could it possibly be? He, namely, we should say the Talmudra, the Talmudra, the Talmudra, the Talmudra, we're talking about a hen, which we designated before Yom Tov. The Gemara says there are two types of hens. If you have a hen that you plan to chef, so such a hen is considered a chef. If you didn't chef again, they're considered a chef. Yom Tov, you committed to chef. And Yom Tov, you're not permitted to do any malachas because you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, with the exception of cooking, or chefing, whatever malachas are normally done. But if a nefesh person is doing whatever you normally do right before you eat, you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. If mine are there, you're probably not allowed to chef chicken from Yom Tov, chef saying. You know what folks to say about chefing the hand, and chefing the chicken from Yom Tov. If it's not a Gemara, the common thing is that no refrigeration. If the common thing is that the person wants to eat flesh, that's a chef today. and eat it today, tomorrow, the next day, but you can't shed the chicken and eat it a month later. I know it's a good. If you shed thing an animal with a malacha that was done normally pretty soon before one eats the animal, so then it had the same status as cooking the food. The cooking was only done like before today also. You cook the food and put it in the freezer, and then eat it a year later. You eat the food a year later. It's also a question if you're permitted to cook the food on the other. The Ramban says later in the third and day camp, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to go fishing on the other. They tell them about that, and I'm not allowed to go fishing on the other. I'm not allowed to pluck off fruit from the tree on the other. The place is there from the next guy, and I'm seeing a lot of knowledge, but I won't say it. There's a reality of this. Not only is it forbidden to pluck off fruit from the tree on them, but even if the fruit fell off by itself, from the tree on them, so you're not allowed to eat it because it's there. It's forbidden to be a bird. There they can climb up and rip it off. It sounds like it's forbidden in our favor to rip off the fruit from the tree. If you're used to ripping off the fruit, harvesting and yonder, but only be with the rabbonos, so after you make it there, you're not even allowed to eat the fruit that's found off the zayra, you know, you're going to be the negative in the sun, and ripping off is only the rabbonos, it should not constitute as zayra as good. Because you'd be permissible to eat the fruit that's found off the zayra. How do I have the right to eat the fruit of zayra to prevent you from violating the eat of the rabbonos? There must be, this simple chat in my mind, being that ripping off fruit from yonder is an eat of the right, you know, like you said, fruit from yonder, the fruit of this is all the same, or what's going on over here? What happened to the human life on Mephis? The break of branch, the break off a branch is close to the Sabbath. Well, Shabbat comes down to me, not a lot of bread. Why not shoot? Because you may break off a branch.
No, I'm trying to say that it's not
that's correct. It's forbidden on Shabbos and Yom Kippur to climb the tree. No, it's forbidden to climb the tree on Shabbos and Yom Kippur because it may break off a branch. Breaking off a branch is not perfect enough. You should have to eat the branch. If eating more has another today, that's the way it was okay. That's the Shabbos, right? If eating more has another today, you're not permitted to eat the fruits that fell off on the lawns from the tree in my own backyard, both on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur, because it was there that if you allow him to eat the fruits that fell off, you may be guessed, you may rip off the fruit. The place is there on Shabbos, we understand you're not permitted to rip off the fruits from the tree. And on Yom Kippur, we've made a heifer from that, just like you're permitted to cook the food. So why should we commit it? We commit it to this whole situation. The guy ripped off the food, I'm not sure. So we can only have later a discussion on that. So we know that it depends. If it looks like, if it looks like there's a little bit of winter, then it looks pretty clear that it was ripped off before that, and you committed to it. That you think that the good water can cook the soup. The great word is the only question is whether you look for a but then you know that it's invisible, that it's not fresh at all, that it's pretty obvious that it was looked for before you answer, then it's good. So this is looks that it's possible that it's looked for a month, he's not coming yourself, you're not allowed to.
They looked up five apples and
they ate 4 stars, one of them was open. They were to believe that he could do it to me. If I think that it may have been ripped off on Yom Kippur, even if it fell off by itself, the Gemara says you're not allowed to eat. The place is bothered with the kasha. It seems from the Gemara that to go hunting or to go fishing on Yom Kippur or to rip off fruits from a tree on Yom Kippur constitutes an eat of their life. The place is there. The place is not showing that it's happening to be. What happened to the Hesed Rosh HaMefesh? I did it to cook food on Yom Kippur. Then why is it forbidden to rip off fruits from a tree or to go fishing or hunting? So the Rishonim worked very hard on this question. So the Ramban later, in the third parish, in Perek Ein Sof, that's how the parish begins, but you're not permitted to go fishing on them. So the Ramban, in the beginning of Ein Sof, then gives this answer. He says, when the Chumash allows Acha Shem Yochol Chomash Shul of Adel, Yochol of Achaim, that you're permitted to do Malecha Terech HaNefesh, it only applies to the Malecha that are normally done through the Kordaniyah. Some of the Lachim, some of the Lachim. But whatever is normally done well in advance, let's say the person wants to eat some flesh, he's not going to go hunting now, right before the meal. He wants to have some fish, he's not going to go fishing now, right before the meal, he's going to have to catch the fish. And in advance, the cooking of the fish is going to be somewhat different. the cooking is mostly because of all the methods. Then the Ramban says, and what about grinding? What about steaming? So the Ramban says it depends what you're grinding up. If you're grinding up flour, the normal thing is when your wife wants to bake a cake, she wants to bake a challah, so she normally bakes it soon before you're going to eat it. She doesn't grind up the grain soon before she's about to use it. The grain is ground up, you buy flour from the store, there's some grain in there, growing the grain of the eating of the food. But to grind up the grain in order to make flour out of it, around bunches, that would constitute a use of the right time grinding. Because that's not normally done from the food. What about grinding up some bisonin? The woman is about to cook, and then she's going to cook some spices and grind them up in order to make the food tastier when she's cooking it. And that's normally done some of the food, because if you try to grind it too fine again, so that it will lose its flavor. And then my mom says, that's mutual agame. But often grinding, he distinguishes between what you're grinding. If you're grinding flour, it's normally done way in advance of the eating, so that's often an alternative. And if you grind the salmon that's normally done the sharp knife when you're about to cook it, that would be mutual at the bottom, mutual in the bottom, mutual in the bottom. The run, and the reason, beginning of the third parent says, you can't fathom this at all. You understand? How can it be that the same law for sometimes possible out there, and sometimes mutual again? But that's what the Ramban says. We have it on Chumash, and we have it on the Gemara. And it's commentary on the reason, on the third parent. The point of that Ramban is going to be that although in the Talmud it says, and the Shulchan Aruch says, I want to commit it to Shef on the Yom Tov, and Shabbat, you have a Shef, and the law considers the Shef. But on the Yom Tov, you commit it to Shef. Although in the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, it was permissible to Shef on Yom Tov, that we have to let him refresh. That is on the land that the normal practice was, and someone wants to eat it, then Shef it that day. That day, the day before, when you do the Shef for a month and a day. But the man is there that we buy things and we buy meat and we keep it in the freezer for so long. But by us, nobody checks before they were about to eat. Nobody checks it. All the people that I know in my neighborhood, nobody checks right before they were about to eat. The friends that are on my chef, they're on the other side. Is that right?
Yeah,
Now that's the normal thing for both fishing.
That's
the question, how do you define someone from a suitor? That's the question. How soon does that become official? Another Ramban says that, Ramban gives another reason why hunting is good. Just two reasons. This is one of the reasons that it's not common for food. And there's another time that it's not even called the echo of the world. That's when it is the echo, you cook it, so it's peeping on life, but that has to happen another. But if you go hunting, if you haven't even caught the food yet, if it's still attached to the tree, so you two reasons. Number one, that normally you don't, when you're interested in eating apples, you don't go rip off the apples from the tree. You have a bushel of apples in that house. Sitting there for a couple of days, and you should still be eating, so you take one of the apples and eat it. Don't walk out to rip it over the tree. Then he gives another reason, because when the apples or the fruit are still attached to the vegetable, are still attached to the ground, it's the law not called an apple. So there's no hacker on that fish to take a mammal and to convert it into an apple. Only 5 minutes. What is an apple to make a chicken? I don't know, these are the two reasons that he gives. In the classical part, again, they talk about chefs and with mammals there, that it may be forbidden for different reasons. That after you study food the other day, there's also traces that there are more. If you do so many chumrin, the Chabad just quotes what it says in the Gemara. This is a chafing, this is not a chafing, it's a half of the time it's worth a half of the time. Then you study the Ramah, so the Ramah has so many chumrin and has such chafing, but even though it's a really good chafing, and not on this, and not on that, and not on the other thing. And the chafing is not on every other thing. So the Shavitari and many other folks can say that maybe this man is there forbidden to share. The chances of it turning out to be forbidden, also Bahira, are higher than it used to be with Mana Gemara. Not 50-50, but much higher than it used to be with Mana Gemara. But according to this comment that the Ramban writes, it could be that probably would turn out that chef and then it's made to be an issue of the right on Yom Kippur. The normal practices that people don't chef and they're interested in. The problem of cooking also. Many people cook all the food well, many Balbuses cook all the food well in a day. They don't cook the food well, they say, what about the work? If the woman sits around like in the field, they go, it doesn't have nothing to do with her, just sitting around and cuddle their thumbs, and back to the babies, and they cook the food and so on. But then they cook the food, they have fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, every meal, everything is fresh. Everything is fresh to cook. But when I was there, a lot of them, when they go to work, so they cook all the food a month in advance, and then they judge me eating, because to me, that's such a woman, if she's going to cook food on them, but that may constitute me. Because they like it. Because it's closer to my mom, because she normally doesn't cook. That's the question. But other people do cook food when they're just about to eat. So again, so now the Gemara on the third topic is discussing what kind of a hen are we talking about. And lays an egg on Yom Kippur, so what's wrong? Why should it be forbidden to eat the egg? The Shaman said to Yom, there's nothing wrong. The Gemara says, E Lamar, if you should say that we're talking about a time of Yom Kippur, you have a hen, which we designated for eating purposes. It's not that I have an egg farm and I'm interested in having a hen all lay eggs every other day and I'm going to sell all the eggs. No, I'm going to check the hen. The Gemara says if that's the case, then the date is over the Yom Kippur, this egg was from a hen of St. Edith Lafila, and we cannot understand at all, my time I would have been still. Why in the world should we still say that if you didn't eat the egg, it should be simply Bukhla the Yitrosu, it should be Oichal, Shemithral, Neoichal. What if you take a loaf of bread and you cut out a slice, I have a knife, and I cut a slice from the loaf of bread, so you can say that slice is something new, it wasn't here, it's the son of Hadash, it's all the time. And there is Shabbat, there is Yom Tzahara Chala. Now I have a slice of a challah, it's a new thing, a new fangled thing, it's mukti. Mukti means a new food that didn't exist before. Let's say if the man would have come down in the middle of Shabbos, it's not in the night. Not that it was there and you take it out. It was created on Shabbos, so that would be mukti. If the man would have been created on Shabbos, that would be mukti. That would be a yeshmiya. If the man wasn't created on Shabbos, Lech HaMishni came down on Friday, and they saved this, they put it inside for Shabbos. So the Gemara says over here, what if I would have an oichel, I have a fruit that's converted to become a different fruit? What the heck is this? I have a cup of tea. And then somehow the Jewish Rebbe knows how to convert the tea into ice cream. In the middle of Shabbos, we're going to change it to become a different fruit. So then you can discuss, we're going to discuss, that's no law. We turn the root of oichel A, and it's converted to become oichel B. And the Gemara is going to say, that would be a machlokes tabana. That's a machlokes of Yudim Epshin, and that would be mukhtana.
Here, the egg is just
part.
Here, and then
there's
the chicken is
slice. So the Gemara says, what if you would have a loaf of bread, and a chala, and then you cut a slice? So I wouldn't say that was a loaf, and this is a slice, and it's a tabana chador. For the time, you wouldn't say that, right? That's buchla dhifrat, that's brechosh nifrat meyesh. And that's not sufficient tabana chador to declare it as a dog or chador shlikandra. So who has the money anymore says if the hen is a medish lachila and it lays an egg on gumfish, it's also considered echo shunita meyach. Ah, this is gracious and this is fire. So the more has a hold that since the hen is egg and lachila, so it's called echo, and the egg is egg and lachila, so it's like a slice that I cut out from a big collar, so a little different, it's quite different from the rest of the collar. And the egg is different, has a different flavor, and it's farther, it is, it all slightly different. And the Mahal, the those differences are not sufficient to label it as a muktzah that it's considered like a brand new egg. The remark is that you don't understand, might the mind be too. Why should we still say that it should be muktzah? It's not a muktzah. So it must be... If you have a cow that's a midlachila, you plan to shech this cow. Ultimately, it's meant to shech the cow, and it stops giving milk. And now that nether, it's Rishonah. If they're 120 years, you're going to shech it. So we're talking now, there's only the shechita now. They just only the shechita now, if I label the whole cow, then when I milk the cow, there's a malach involved in milking the cow. But let's leave out the malach issue. Let's say I'm going to milk the cow. If it didn't milk the cow, I wouldn't have shot it out of the malach. Let's leave out the malach of the going milk the cow. The wrong side of the thing would be muktzah. But then it won't say the same question. If the hen is in there, if the cow is in there, lachi law, they can plan to shech this sooner than later. Soon, one of the years you're going to shech this cow. This is not an operation of vegan now, so you don't need this meat from this cow. If it's another lachi law, then all the milk that comes out will be again, what's the difference? It wouldn't be muktzah. But if the cow is on a milk farm, and it's meant to shech the cow when it stops giving milk. But in the near future, in the next year or two, they plan to use this cow for milk, because the cow is considered like a machine. So you have a machine, and then I took a spoon from the machine and it converted into milk. I got milk out of the machine. So that would be a bonus chadash, that would be a milk. That would be labeled as a milk. The same as by the egg, the tomorrow says. All of the time, every time I have this mazal of base, and it might be that the machine is talking about a...
And sometimes I say that since I expect it to happen, I know it's going to happen, and I look forward to this thing happening, because I don't label that new thing that comes into existence as Mukti. That's the Ramban's kashya, the Ramban. That book says, why does the Gemara say that if the hand is a Nedir, you know, God will base him, but I should say the basis should be Mukti. It's just reversed. Since I know that this is an egg farm, and I stand to get as many eggs as I can to eat, and then the egg that comes out should not be Mukti. Not kashya, but the answer is that the kashya, what do you do with that Gemara? But this Gemara, you understand, how to resolve the Gemara with that kashya? And a good answer is, the Rishon gives two different answers, the tradition. The one here and the one Rishon says that, but how do you understand? But the Gemara is there, then it's considered like a new Oichol Yeshneya, a new Yalla, a new thing. But this food didn't exist at all. How there is Yom Tzeh, how the machine? The hand is laying here, it's like a machine, it's not Eichel. And then from the machine came forth an egg, which is an Eichel. So a machine gives out an egg, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Hashem came, because from the Kadosh, in the middle of Shabbat, I have a Kli, in the middle of Shabbat, I have Eichel. So that's Nukkah. Hashem came, if the hand is an egg, it's Lachiva, and it gives off an egg, so that's like I have a big color, and I thought I have a slice in the middle, but I don't say that that's sufficient from the Kadosh to label it as well. I have to give a little bit more of a background of Mukti. What is Mukti? Think of all the things that Mukti is, a pen and a pencil and a hammer and a screwdriver. So that's not Mukti. You look in the Shulchanot, that has nothing to do with Mukti. That's a misnomer. That's not Mukti at all. The reason why we're going to talk about whether Mukti is also Mukti good, and we pass him Mukti is Mutter. Mutter. We pass him Mukti Mutter. I shout about that young thing. The only Mukti is Mutter. Everybody knows Mukti. My 1 year old, my 2 year old, Mukti, everything is Mukti. So when you tell a kid, don't turn on the light, look, because that has nothing to do with it, so that's what I'm talking about. But even the, let's say, the pen or the hammer or the screwdriver, that has nothing to do with it, so that's a plea. Whatever a plea is happening to, whatever is a plea is happening to, it's a plea from Al-Aqqali Yisra. It's a different thing. There's an Yisra Tilkum on a plea from Al-Aqqali Yisra. There's even an Yisra Tilkum on a plea from Al-Aqqali Yisra. The Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos, in Torah Kalachiri, that when you say to that in the Chenya, so the Gemara said, the Sufim say when it came back from Gobel, so it's because there was a tremendous thing of Shabbat in the Shabbat. So the main Chenya, when Fakal you on the day to the Chenya, he introduced the Zeres to Rabban in order to prevent people from carrying and violating the Yisrael of Hansor. So he said, it's forbidden to carry anything in the house until you may forget and carry it into the street. So that everybody was carrying, when the people are violating a lot of these students, Gemara has the psychology of laws, when people violate a lot of the things, you have to introduce Mukti. It's not like today people think. They're violating so many things, so let's just try to get themselves there to get into right. So believe that, we work on the deal with our bones another time. So the Akhrani points out, you see that the Gemara psychology goes just the reverse. Gemara tells us that when Rav came to Bavel, and he saw that the way the people were cooking got to the Cholot. They never heard of the prohibition of Bishop got to the Cholot, I think he got to the Cholot. So he introduced additional Zeres to Rabbanah. Whenever the people are forward, that they violate more given their rights, you have to introduce more Zeres to Rabbanah in order that at least they should have done it given their rights. And once you don't say, well, let's forgo on the given their Rabbanah, just at least try to get them to the given their rights. That's the Gemara psychology. So the Gemara says in the days of the Chani Ben Chachalia, when he came back to his former Ezra, there was so much Chil Shabbos that he piled on Zeres upon Zeres upon Zeres. And the Gemara says, as the generation is improved, so he lifted the Zeres. You don't need someone to come to Rabban. And the greater the tzaddik is, the less he needs to overcome. If he would be prone, and he wouldn't be any chashash, he wanted to get what's forbidden, so he wouldn't need any Zeres Rabban. But none of us are so prone, so he still needs a couple of Zeres Rabban. And the further away the person is from Shia Sateres, then the more Zeres Rabban he needs. So the Gemara says in the days of Mechani Ben Chakalya, they are still on everything. You're not going to move this, you're not going to move that. Life is kimat impossible. Life is not only difficult, it's kimat impossible. They weren't allowed to move anything. They could just move the jacket and the books and the knives and the plates on the table, and that's all. You couldn't move anything. And And then as the generations went on and the people stopped carrying, they got trained not to carry because they didn't need to move anything in the house. So how are they going to move it? How are they going to get to move it out into the street? The Gemara says, he see what because he did it because he too. A generation later, they lived to follow the Eastern, and another generation went forward, they improved, they lived to another Eastern. What it boiled down to is what we have today, that a Kli, Shemalachta, the Eastern, a Kli like a hammer, or a screwdriver, a pen, or a pencil, or something like that, the Kli, Shemalachta, the Eastern, which is not looked for work, the Kli, it's not looked to mean a piece of junk. So you're permitted to move it only the Tzar Gufo or the Tzar Mekomo. Either if you want to use this hammer or if you've broken up a jaw, or something like that, the Tzar Gufo, also the Tzar Mekomo, or the Tzar Mekomo, by mistake somebody left it on the table, and it's in the way, you left it on the chair, and you want to sit there, so you're permitted to take it and put it where it belongs. And the Tzar points out later in the beginning of the Tzar, so it turns out that you don't say that you can only take it over the table and put it on the floor. Once I have the right to take it over the table, I can walk all the way 5 rooms down the hall. If it's all in my apartment, I can walk down the hall and put it where it belongs, in the bullshit. I don't have to drop it immediately, because it's not really moved. It's Lisha Malachali. So it's Lisha Malachali is the thing that you're not permitted to handle.
Why would it lack the
Lashes considered mukta to munch. Why is the shame considered mukta to munch? Oh, because the Gemara is that kashin, the Gemara says the Shabbos because the lights are on Yom, on Shabbos, not on Yom. On Shabbos the candle takes some mukta because you have the candles were sitting on top of them on Friday night. What's wrong with candles? What's wrong with the candle? Candle is like a hammer. The Gemara says, yeah, but the candles were lit, so you have the flame. And the flame is considered a piece of junk. It looks to manage. I just don't have to do all the Jewish functions. I can leave the air on air. I can hold my hands on Friday night over. I can hold my hands. I can leave the air on air. If you don't have the flame, you can't read, you can't see. The Gemara says, no, but you're not using the actual flame. You're using the light of the flame. I'm young, but you can use the actual flame itself because you have the right to light another candle from that candle or whatever. So then the flame itself is not considered mukta. It's something that has a shasha. But on Shabbos, the flame itself, the Gemara says, the shalheva is considered mukta mamash. The Gemara says a klal that once you had a flame burning bein hashmash at the beginning of Shabbos, I say that the candle with the candlestick, with the tray, with the table and everything, and I brought this as other officer, and even though I removed it, you might look at a toy can, any stole the candlestick. I said, okay, I'm trying not to stole the whole candlestick, there's nothing left. And also, still the table will be, I brought this as other officer. If you had other things on the table, if you had plates and starring and silverware and other things, but then the table is above the smaller house, and then I'm with them, and then the table won't be moved. But let's say the candle will be above the smaller house, because all it has on top is the plate. And the candle is also, all it has on top is the candle with the plate. And let's say the tray under it. The tray underneath the candle stick will also be above the smaller house. So that's what the Gemara says, that even after removing the nooks there, and I also declare that it's no longer a doctor, that's the price. Whatever was mukta between the Fayyam, you could just cut to the Bina Shmashin, cut to the Fayyam, and remain mukta to the end of the day. So the Gemara explains very clearly in the Shabbat and the Shulchan Aruch that a screwdriver and a pen and a pencil and a hammer, these kind of things are not mukta at all. This is what we call a Kalisha Malach. And it's true, you're not permitted to handle it. But you have that there, and then it's permissible to handle it, even if there are people, you think the crack open enough, or to swallow open a jar or something, well, it's not too common if it's in the way. What if you have a Kalisha Malach for a hector? What if you have a Kalisha Malach for a hector? But then, it says in Shulchan Aruch, not only Imam, Shulchan Aruch, not only is it permissible to move it, it's a gufo, but it's not common, let's say you have a knife and a fork. You want to use a knife and a fork in order to eat the food, that's a gufo. All the stuff will come and the knife and the fork is in the way. You finish eating and you want to eat dessert, so you want to put a steak on the table first. You want to get all the plates and the silverware out of the way. So it's permissible to take it away, the stuff will come up. It's even permissible to move it. Mechama l'tzera. Mechama l'tzera means if the sun is going to shine, it's going to get destroyed, if it's going to break in the sun, or if it's not going to come and it'll steal it, I'm permitted to move it away in order to protect it. To move away, let's say, a collision rock to the Easter, I have a pen or a pencil or a hammer or a screwdriver or something like that in order to protect it. That's awesome. They can handle it. But to move away a collision rock to the Hecker, you spell a proof for itself, you come up or make hammer itself, to move it from the sun to the shade or any other form. By protecting it, that would be permitted. What about the move? A collision rock to the Hecker, a shalom itself, well. But then in the strictly speaking, in the Rama, the Shulchan Aruch says there is a difference. So Rashi said, you should deal a much with it. He said, if people sit around the table, in the three courses, and they play with their silverware, they play with the cup. He said, keep on going with it. If in the middle of the, meal, you want to drink, okay, you want to use the fork and knife and the knife, okay? So let's start a group on. You want to use the knife. But some have nothing to do with these cups, moving around the tray like this, moving the silverware like this, and moving the cup, moving like this. That's Shalom for a cloth. So speaking, it says in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch, it says on. Mishnah Berurah, on the bottom of the page, that's his Leif HaHetzer. He says, the page is disagrees with the Rambam, and even the Rambam, some interpret that the Rambam never said it, the Rambam never mentioned it, and that's a different thing. But the simple reading of the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, is that it's produced. In relation to the fact of the story that he once visited by a rabbi, by a Brune rabbi, he was sitting and playing with the silverware in between courses. The Lord didn't want to tell him anything. He didn't want to tell him anything. The rabbi's son was a young boy before 5 years. So he went over to the candlestick that the mother had not done Shlifta. Candlesticks that are on the table that she done Shlifta on the limit. The child didn't know, but they had other candlesticks that were sitting on this floor. So the child went over and started to play with the candlestick. The father started to play with the child, looked at it. There's no other hand of the candlestick. So Rachel put into the back to say, what do you mean? That looks good. That's also legal. Look at it. He said, that's nothing. If you didn't like candles in the candlestick, that's not also above all. There's no reason why it should be moved. It could even be that it's a traditional lock to the Hecker. You could say that candlestick is a traditional lock to the Hecker because normally you use it for the Hecker. You could say that it's a traditional lock to the Hecker because it's an ornament. It's a short thing. It's a dish to play with the silverware. That's better than the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. That's it. The carry ready? Did the lovely carry the candle? I don't know. What's the question? Because he didn't like the candlestick. This Shabbos, it's a question if it's Muktzeh. The question what it is. It Muktzeh, doesn't it? The question is it a Kleshim Alakali Yisrael? And maybe even that's not. Maybe it's only Kleshim Alakali Yisrael. But to play with the Kleshim Alakali Yisrael on the table, Shabbos says, well, the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch sound like they say this actually. So that has something to do, again, these are different things. If you have something that Muktzeh, look at an example of looks this is more good. 18 are one in the offer. You have pebbles, you have stones, you have twigs. Money is considered looks not because you use money to purchase things with it and it's forbidden to do Mecca a mentor on Shabbos. That's not the real reason. The real reason is that money offers is considered junk. Nothing to do with any philosophy of life or anything. Money is not a plea that has any instantia. What do you do with money? You take money and you give it to someone. Right, you exchange it. There's a cup you can use to drink in the cup. A fork and a knife is used. If the figure has ishtamshus money, it's considered a thing that doesn't have ishtamshus. It's not considered a cleat. Swords, they're not clothing. What do you do with the sword? You play with the sword. They give ishtamshus. And the cover holds that sword, it's a muktzeh. Ball is muktzeh. I'm not sure, no, but the fact that you play with it. Maybe today that we're on the shoes, maybe money is not considered muktzeh because of that reason. Maybe it's only muktzeh because it's miyuchas. Maybe it's a traditional operation because we use it to bargain. That could be that today it wouldn't be muktzeh. But classically, Shulchan Aruch, they consider money muktzeh, so they say the official reason is because money is not considered a traditional operation. So you never have any assumptions with the money itself. So they say it could be this. It could be this one. And I'll pay the money. It's not enough, it's important. Also, to get the... Okay, put this. if you have something that looks the mamish, you have something, let's say you have a bottle smashes and I'm left with a broken clip. Or I peel an egg and I have the eggshell left. What do you do? The eggshell and garbage. I have the eggshell and garbage. So garbage is mixed. That's the typical mix. Garbage is mixed. Eight of my body is also garbage. Let's say in the middle of Shabbos, garbage is mixed. Now the question is, what if the house is smelling, so it's very annoying. So the Gemara says, look, it's very, let's say the baby has a dirty diaper. Baby has a dirty diaper. So the dirty diaper is a mukta not. It's garbage. And if a garbage level is there, you're going to say that it's mukta, you have to leave it. You leave the baby's diaper on, you don't handle the dirty diaper into the house, it's going to get dirty here. What do you do? The Gemara has later in day, so since the whole prohibition of mukta is only in the Rabbanon, the hey mama, the hey mama. But they made a special effort that a gerif shalei, you have literally, a gerif shalei, you have a container that has soa, or a lion, something that's very annoying. If you have something very annoying in this container, and the container is in your bedroom, or the container is in your kitchen, or in your living room, if the container is in the bedroom, so leave it in the bedroom. So don't move it around the house, so move it, so leave it there. But if the container is in the bedroom or somewhere where it's annoying, then the special heter, you're permitted to move the gerif shalei out in order that it shouldn't be annoying. So what happens if you have a lot of garbage in the kitchen? You have a lot of garbage in the kitchen. It depends how disturbing it is. If it's extremely disturbing to the same disturbing, you get a shalei, then it would be permissible to move it out, even though it would be mukta. But it's not that disturbing. I think usually the case is that it's not that disturbing. Unless you have a lot of babies in the house, you have a lot of baby diapers in. But just a lot of eggshells and a lot of vegetable fields and fruit fields and so on. The buses, the company doesn't say it's going to be inconvenient, but it's mukta not. So the deal is like this, if you have mukta mamish means something that doesn't have any substance. Eitzim are one of the other, twigs, sand, pebbles, stones, these kind of things, junk, garbage. You know what I'm saying, Hashem, it's easier, a quick cloud. Whatever is not mekabel tuma. The things that are mekabel tuma are the things that are useful. What is mekabel tuma? Other mekabel mokul mamash. These are the four categories that are mekabel tuma. And whatever is not called in the game of the Russian is junk. Oh, the junk is mukta. It's not as roughly speaking, that's the cause. Whatever is mekabel tuma can never be mukta. Let's say a hammer, a screwdriver, that's not mukta. This is it. It's klisha malakta l'issa. Or let's say a fork and a knife, that's a klisha malakta l'issa. That's certainly not going to be mukta. There'll be an issa to move it, shalom sarakla, totally unnecessarily. If it's not the bufo, you're not using the fork and the knife, it's not in the coma, it's not in the way. And it's not for the purpose of protecting it, it's not the common of sale, it's done. You destroy it, the Baba Bosta left the case of the condition, that case of the case was over on Thursday, and the husband and the wife both went to work on Friday, and they have all the case of the conditions over here. And then on Shabbos afternoon, they have fun, so they want to move the case of the conditions and put it away in the cabinet, room inside the apartment. So then, that's the Kedusha Malachal answer, and it's Shalom HaTorah. Mom is just locking the rest. That's it doesn't come, you want to use that rest. And just because it doesn't look nice, that's not a hatter of the cause and cause. The legs are mukta, right? That's why they're making it in the middle. Says the Shulchan Aruch that the minig is, when you make a bridge, based on a Zohar, so you take the oil or the metal face of the skin that it has off, and he buries it in Yopra, he buries it in there. But if the grit is on Shabbos or Yom Tov, they're going, you should not quote from the going list. Before the days of Rashi and Tenshis, they say that you have to be making the offer on the Gozal. What does it have to be making the offer? The offer is still going to be mukta. Let's think of more later, but if you have something which is mukta, but you've prepared it in advance, with the express purpose of using it on Shabbos or Yom Tov, even though it remains mukta, you're permitted to move it to that one Shabbos. You're allowed to move it to that one Shabbos. Basically, the Mishnah has a sovereign tongue. The Mishnah says in Shabbos that a door should really be mukta. So it's not a kli. It's mechubel atak, it's not a kli. Erechol it's not, mashti it's not, oven it's not, and shayim it's not either. So it's mechubel atak, it really should be mukta. Whatever doesn't fall into one of these four categories should be mukta. A door? No, it's not a kli because it's mechubel atak. Not the Kabbalah, building is not the Kabbalah. So the door should be looked at. There is no air. So how do you look through the door? to the Marcus, because you are Magna the Bojong. That's like the same Hector that we have, they have. We are Magna the Bojong. To open it, to them, Magna these stones in order to throw them on Shabbos. To that, even though he named Mukta, the door named Mukta, the stones named Mukta, and the offer that the Mohr is going to use to cover up the order which he named Mukta, but for that one purpose, you're allowed to use it. To be there, to bring to those on the other means, but the Mukta problem can be solved if you're Magna it in Bojong. But then what happens if the door falls off? What happens if the door falls off? And it's unshoppable in the middle of Shabbos. So the Mishnah said, if it's like this Mukta, the door was Mukta all along on Shabbos, except that you had a heck to move it for that purpose. Let's say these individuals, these five individuals, instead of trying their stones in order to pavart the Chassan, whatever it is, in order to throw it on people on Shabbos. So let's say someone else comes in whom they dislike and they decide to throw it on him. Then they violate Mukta if they throw it. Let's say they decide they want to throw it at a cat, they want to throw it at a dwarf, they want to throw it at a garnet or something. Then it would be violating Mukta. You want to permit it to use it for that one purpose for which you are not permitted, or for a purpose that's equally important or more important, in my eyes later on. But if the other purpose for which you want to use it is less important, then the more says, why can't it be Mukta? Because it remains Mukta all along. If I take, let's say, twigs of wood, I take logs of wood which are Mukta, and then on there a Shabbat, I bind it together and I make a table, I make a shiva. So that, you don't say that it remains Mukta except that I would mazmin it by the heter to use the table of the shiva. So I made a table, so it's not a twig anymore, so it's a kli. So once it's a kli, so I can use it for whatever purpose I want, so it's Mukta. But if I set aside the buffalo or the twig for a specific purpose, true for that one purpose, I have a heter that Mar has later on, that remains Mukta, but for other purposes which are less important, which are less significant than that purpose, which I was not going to, at least the Mukta will remain intact. So again, the Gemara has to say, what we usually as children, what we're trained to think is Mukta, has nothing to do with Mukta. To handle hammers and to handle screwdrivers, this has nothing to do with Mukta. That's what Krishna Malakali is there. And that's why you have the two Haferas, so we're talking about common. And to handle the Prisham Lach for the Hatter is also a prohibition. You're not allowed to handle the Prashim Shat and the Shohanot. And that's the also the Mishnah Gura Tatev. But the simple Shat and the Rama and the Shohanot, that's the Ratzoresh, it seems that the simple Shat is the selection. That it's forbidden to handle even a Prisham Lach for the Hatter unless you have a lead, unless you're moving it with soul. So that's related, these two instruments, the Yisra of moving the Prisham Lach for the Hatter, the Prisham Lach for the Yisra, this is all Dvei Roshana Yosu. Let me go part of it. And then there's another unrelated thing that you're not allowed to move Mukta. Now Mukta is a different thing. Mukta means either Eitzim, Avonim, Biyot, or Junk. And that kind of Mukta, there never was a Machlokes Yisrael. There never was a Machlokes Yisrael, or a Yudah, or that sort. So it's real junk itself. And let's say if a Nafri, a boy comes in the middle of Shabbos and he takes all of these twigs and he nails them together, he bangs them together and he makes the table and he makes the chair out of it. So then I'll say, neither this Katzorim, then Ashmashah, this Katzorim, it's really honest. Since it was Mukta in the beginning of Shabbos, it continues to remain Mukta even after he's already made, a table or a chair out of it. Since from the beginning of Shabbos it was Mukta and Amish, it remains Mukta until the end of the day. No. Yes. Even if I have Shimon, okay. Even if I have Shimon, the Gemara says he will agree that if it was Mukta and Amish, it remains Mukta until the end of the Shabbos. And now the Gemara has a machlokes of Yudah Rav Shimon in the following case. Machlokes of Yudah Rav Shimon is what we hold for Mukta, and we talk from the no Mukta on the issue that's in debate, whether Mukta is also a Mukta, we talk from Rav Shimon in the Kula that Mukta is Mukta. What's the case that they argue? They argue in the following case. Let's say the children are going to have to say about Mukta party on Sunday night. And I put a birthday party, whatever, and I put away ice cream in the freezer. And then on Shabbos afternoon, I change my mind. I decide I'm going to mash the ice cream. And I buy some more ice cream after Shabbos. I buy some. One bite more. It doesn't matter. In the beginning of Shabbos, it was clear that I intended to finish not to eat that ice cream. Or let's say, for example, I bought my shmur matzah before Pesach. And I'm sitting around in the house, and shmur matzah before I am matzah. That's 1.5 hours I am, and it's obvious that I don't plan to eat it before Pesach. It's so expensive, I'm going to eat chametz before Pesach. When it comes Pesach night, I say, I'm going to eat the same shmur. And then I decide, a week or two before Pesach, I decide I want to eat the shmur matzah. A little Shabbos, I change my mind, and I decide. But that came up later, so let's say I have Pesach in the dish, in the cabinet all year long. And then one fine day, on a Shabbos or Yom, I change my mind, and I'm going to use this to chametz. I'm going to buy a new set of papers, I'm going to buy new glasses, new plates, whatever it is. I'm going to make the same thing as the commentary. But that's the original machleis of the Rav Shimon. If I had food in the house, if I had kale in the house, which, and it was obvious that I didn't plan to use this food or this kale in on Shabbos, it was a room to the mukha, but I'm not going to use it. And in the middle of the day, I changed my mind when I decided that I am going to use it. The Rav Yudah is of the opinion that that's what the best original case of the Rav Shimon argument. I think Mara has another case. Which is right next to his home. And all the things that he uses for himself, he has in his apartment. And then he has the shop right next to him. In the middle of Shabbos, he decides he wants to take one of the hats, which is in the Nasira. He wants to take one of the candies or one of the pieces of food which is in the store. It's not in the Hishtamshus. He wants to use it for his own purposes. So that's the original Machlekes of Unirachin. The Rav Yudah says that that's Muktzah. Because Oichel and Kalim, you have to be making the gold yom for the purpose of using it on Shabbos. Hi, none of us are making, let's say the Baba Bosa, make an announcement, a declaration before they bench lift, that we plan to use all of the dishes and all of the food in the house. And the answer is it's an Indian in the Mukhaf, it's self understood, that all the food and all the Kalim in the house, you may use on Shabbos, or you may plan to use on Shabbos, with the exception of the ice cream that's for the birthday party, or the potato chip that's for the birthday party, or for the potato the division, and so on. I have a special fancy tray that I'm going to give away the gift for, because I just got married. Then I decide, no, I want to use it myself, I'll get them a different gift. Also, if in the beginning of Shabbos it was clear that I don't plan to use it, it was Javada that I don't plan to use it, I'll change my mind in the middle of Shabbos, that would be enough later, so I've used it, saying that that would be Muktzah. And that's not like to be passing like a Shimon, and that's not me. So the Gemara has, in addition to that machlokes, the original machlokes that have kale in the offering, which obviously that I don't plan to use it, so the Gemara has an offshoot of that machlokes. The Gemara says, what if you have a nola? Nola means a talent. I have chicken, which is my halakha, the chicken is cooked, not alone, but let's say I have steak. And it's a my halakha. When I finish eating all the chicken, I finish eating all the steaks that pretend to be eating. If the kids are eating, I leave over here for the chicken, here for the meat, but still might have over. I'm going to block this, I'm going to eat everybody's leftovers. I have 10 little children, so I'm going to go eat everybody's like, shit, so throw it out in the garbage. But it's still Michael Odom. But then no one's going to say that it's going to start off as Michael Odom, and even after they nibbled a little bit, it's still Michael Odom. Let's say they had a piece of garland, they nibbled, they had a piece of garland, they left over a piece of garland. They're still growing a Michael Odom. But just because they're going to throw it in the garbage, it doesn't make it that it's mukhtar. I'm a cynic, I don't want to eat it. The kids don't want it, no one wants to eat it. But basically, it's still not over, so that's not going to be good. What happens if we've eaten up all the chicken on the bone, and we just left with the bone? And if it would be on my plate, I wouldn't stop chewing up the bones and eating them out. There's no more, as far as I'm concerned, always Michael Odom. It's no longer Michael Odom. But you can see it to the door. It is Michael Dane. What's the din? If you have Michael Odom, Shinishtan Aliyah, Michael Dane. That's the case over here. You have chicken. So before Shabbat and before Yom Tov, the whole chicken was Michael Odom. After you finish eating the chicken, or let's say you have fruits and vegetables and you seal them. So originally, before Shabbos, before Yom Tov began, the whole fruit of the whole vegetable was labeled as Michael Odom. Then when you remove the seal, you eat the fruit of the vegetable, if you're left with the seal that people don't eat, you're going to throw it in the garbage. But basically, it is Michael Dane. So what you have is Michael Odom, which is astoundingly as Michael Dane. Either as boy, yes, and I doubt, why should that be called Michael Odom, should it sound like Michael Dane? But the bones, the never Michael Odom, the bones are always Michael Odom. So why not say that in the beginning of Shabbat and Yom Tov, I had Michael Odom attached to Pesach, I had Michael Odom attached to Michael Dane. So now the Michael Dane remains Michael Dane, it's not the Michael Odom covering. He says, you see from the Gemara, that's just, the Gemara holds that, the Gemara labels it differently. The Gemara says, I labeled the entire circle of chicken. The entire steak I label as Michael Odom, and after I finish eating it, and all that's left is bone, there's no more chicken left, there's no more meat left on this piece, and say, oh, this is Michael Odom, and this family is Michael Bane. So that's the notion that I gave before. I have a cup of tea, and through the same film, I convert a cup of tea into ice cream. Any Michael, and this family is Michael Acher. Michael H, and this family is Michael B. If you can do such a trick, so the Gemara says that would be totally in a machlekes reviewed in Rav Shimon. That's how the Gemara suggests. If you have no lot, no lot means to have a new oichel. I started off with an oichel, and in the middle of Shabbat, in the middle of Yom Tov, something happened, and that oichel flips to become a different oichel. Now the lot converted to become like a behema, or the flesh converted to become a sheep, or whatever. But that's what the Gemara is debating, that's what the Gemara says up in here. The Gemara says if you have a loaf of bread and you cut a slice out from the middle, you don't call that an oiler at all. That's the Gemara says if you have a hen which is aimed at la the plan soup within a day or two, or a week. You plant the shepherd's hen, so I label the whole, the entire hen as a Michael Odom. Even if the hen lays an egg now, I say, that's also a little different. Why, it's a different thing. I say, no, it's not a different oiso. I say, this is an oiso, and I remove part of the oiso from the big oiso. So that doesn't constitute no light at all. That's not a form of muktzilu. But if you have, the Gemara says, but if you have a hen, which is a nether that God will base in, but that's not called an oichel at all. That hand is like a machine. And such a hand gives birth, lays an egg, but then I consider that a noilat gomer. I consider that a noilat gomer. That's what I say to the two. There are two kinds of noilat. If you had chicken and you ate up the chicken and left it the bones, so I label that as a case of Michael Ludington, and it's not only as Michael Bain. So we had a case, but we shouldn't have this case. I'm giving a wild case that the person had a cup of tea, and by a moses he converted the tea into ice cream. So that's a wild case. But we shouldn't, in the beginning of the day, to give the following case. A guy had kernels of grain, and Shabbos said, on said, let's say, and then he grinded it up and he ate flour out of it. So the Rishon considered that a form of noilo. But originally, in the beginning of Shabbos, it was grain. Now that it's flour, they consider that a panah hadash is bowl of God. So we say that should depend on the dispute between Rav Shimon and Rav Yudah. According to Rav Shimon, that should be mukhtar.
According to Rav Yudah, that should be muktzeh, and according to Rav Shimon, it should not be muktzeh.
Mm-hmm. We
pass that it's not muktzeh. We pass that it's muktzeh. We'll have to see what the deal is on Yom Tov. On Shabbos, we pass that it's not muktzeh. On Yom Tov, we'll have to know. But now the Gemara assumes that there are two types of nerlot. There's a plain nerlot, and there's a nerlot gomor. The plain nerlot is that started off with one nerlot in the beginning of Shabbos, beginning of Yom Tov, in the middle of the day, somehow converted to become a different form of a nerlot. Unless they are started off with a kli, and the kli smashed in the middle of the day, and now I have a different kli. So it depends what that means. Let's say I started off with a table, a big table, and then somehow in the middle of Shabbos, in the middle of Yom Tov, somebody came and they broke the legs. They broke all the four legs on the bottom. And now it's still a table, but it's so small that only the little children can use it. So they're also going to use it as a table. But then initially said to myself, the Shabbos, that that's not called Nerlot at all. That basically name Halachim HaRishonim. If I have a kli, kli A, and it's not only a kli B, and kli B has the same instructions as kli A. Grown up can't sit on it anymore because it's too low, but it's still a table. And let's say it started off as a chair, and now it's started off as a chair that was very sturdy, and fat people can sit on it also. Now, the wobbly is only a little children, only skinny people can sit on the chair. But that's called, that's not called nishtama. That's like the loaf of bread and cut out a slice in the middle of the loaf of bread, that's not called nishtama, that's not nerve. But what happens, the Mishnah says, and what happens if I have, let's say, a table, and someone came and they smashed it to tiny little pieces and now it's utterly junk. So then everybody would agree that it's muktzeh, there's no sanction to it. Then they're not like the beauty of Shimon, adequately, which originally had one Hishtamshus in the beginning of the Shabbat, and then it's smashed in the middle of the day, and now it has a Hishtamshus as a different kli. It's a completely different Hishtamshus now. So that would be a Machlok of Rabbi Rav Shimon, that's called Lo Rav She'enu Goma. Kli A, Hishtam Aliyah Kli B. If I had a kli and it's smashed and it's absolutely not useful at all, that's like the eggshell. I had an egg, which is my Machlok, then I ate the egg and I left it to show. The shell's nobody eats the shell, even the name is only the shell. Of course it's muktzeh. I had a bottle, and the bottle smashed, and I'm left with broken pieces of bread. So that's muktzeh mamish. So it's like the eggshells are muktzeh mamish because it has no hishtamshus, it's not earth at all. So it's the broken pieces of bread are muktzeh mamish. But if I had a loaf of bread and I cut out a slice, a tzucha d'israz, that's not called mishtana at all. There's no shada muktzeh, there's no machlokes. So the parallel case is that you had a big sturdy chair and it broke a little bit. And now only little skinny people can eat on a smaller chair. I have a table now, it's a smaller table. So that's not called Nerlot at all. No one would hold it that much. And where was the Dia Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Shimon? If the Oichon was mishtana to become a different kind of an Oichon, let's say it originally was a Michael Lodim, and now we have to eat him off all the chicken, so the bones are now Michael Akelim, it's Michael Behem, the Oichon Lodim, mishtana liyot, Oichon Behem. Or if you have a flea, which is mishtana liyot, it's a different flea. The original kli broke, and now instead of being used as a chair, it's used as a footstool, or it's used as a box or something else. It still is a kli, so it's not muktzeh, but it doesn't have at all the original assumption. But that was easy. Gemara says, that would be a machlokes Rav Yudah Rav Shimon, what's the din in Nola? What's the din in Nola? That should be a problem. The newspaper printed on Shabbos, forgetting about Malachos and God. The Goyim are printing for themselves, that's fine. So the Torah, that may be a Nerlot Gomer. That may be a Nerlot Gomer. So before Shabbos, what you had was a big container of ink and a big roll of paper. And now you have a whole book. And you have a whole magazine, all these things. And God can find a Chadash and follow them. So one might argue the point that you say that should be a Nerlot Gomer. Nerlot Gomer, everybody holds his book. That's the point of the year. You can't even move it a little bit. Can you move it like this? Not a lot. No, not a lot to move it even in the house, even a little bit. If you have, let's say, broken glass, if you have anything that, let's say you have money, let's say you have money that's moved, and let's say the super is coming into the apartment, and I'm afraid that the money is going to disappear. So you're not permitted to move the money away even though it's with Zoref protecting the money.
That's awesome. Even though Muhammad was there, that's awesome. Muhammad was there was also even on a screwdriver, even on a cushion block of Easter. Tosh came that it's also to move it if it's Mukta Mamma. So what do you do? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you submit it, let's say here's the money. The Easter of Mukta only applies to your diet. There's no Easter Mukta to kick Mukta with your feet, or to move it with your elbow. So Shulchan Aruch says I can move the money like this, and then that's the goofy, and then I can kick it with my feet, and so I'll kick it for a face, so I know it's going to be safe. But to move it with my hands is up. So if you have glare, so you can kick all the glare with your feet, then you kick it away, that's what you should have. You can kick it away. To move it with the broom, that's considered the Yodayim. Right, the elbow is the group part. It's also listed the group part with Mutter. But if I hold the broom with my hand, then the broom is considered the extension of my hand. Unless I hold the broom under my arm, and I do. But if I hold the broom with my hand, then it's the elbow. What happens if you have tiny particles of broken glass and you just can't, and you can't move it with your feet? So then the Gemara has a hefty. If there's a hashash hezek harabi, if you have a lot of people walking around and you're afraid that someone may get hurt, so then there's a hefty to move that feet, the special one. No, this is all the Rabban. All of these Yisurim of Mukta are only the Rabban. For him, the Mukta is always only the Rabban. It's very good, and they carry it out in the street. The Gemara, the Tosafot quote, to demonstrate that there is a din of Mukta in the case of Noelach Gomor, is an Erezin. Take a look in the Tosafot here for Salta Baita. And the first Daf, and Beit Menorah, the quote is one Erezin, because Erezin Daf Nen Hei on a day. Lauren Erickson talks about snow or rain that falls on Shabbos or Yom Kippur. So the Bryson says that the snow or the rain that comes on Shabbos or Yom Kippur is not Mukta. Then the Pharisee said it's not Mukta. The story is that people don't learn Erickson, people learn Baitla. Tosafot quotes that one line out of context to the Gemara. So people can talk. Tosafot quoting Gemara that the rain or the snow that comes down on Shabbos or Yom Kippur is Mukta. It doesn't say it there. It says in the bright and Erevin that the rain of the snow that falls on Shabbos and it is not Mukta. So the Gemara then, in the middle of the discussion of where did this rain come from? Weren't the clouds miles away before Shabbos and before Yom Kippur? I want to say that the water or the snow came from Chutzpachum. It should be us to handle it because it's Chutzpachum. So the Gemara says, no, the only time you have a din of Kumin is if the thing was in existence in the beginning of Shabbos, the beginning of Yom Kippur. It was in existence somewhere else. Then I say that the thing went to Kutzpun. The object went to Kutzpun. But what happens is the thing just wasn't in existence at all in the beginning of Shabbos. But it came into existence in the middle of Shabbos. But then the Gemara said, you can't say that it came from Kutzpun. It wasn't in existence before. So the Baruch Hu made a basis and he makes mon. Here's the mon on the face. What are you going to say? The mon came Yesh Me'ayin. So that's Kutzpun. Ayin. It wasn't in existence before. So the Gemara said, that's not called Kutzpun is not proper. The Gemara says, Maya, the evil, the water in the cloud, when Tosafot quotes Erev and Daf Nen Hei in the day. So they quote after that to a parenthesis, the water in the cloud, Nidla B'ni, the water is absorbed from the cloud, and it's in a state of gas, and that doesn't count. Since now it comes down on the earth, in the state of rain, in the state of snow, it's with Gamari, Panach Hadoshis, and this wasn't what it was before, so there's no problem whatsoever of coming Kutzpun. Bring the Gemara Akashi. If that's true, if you consider the water when it's in the cloud as being such a different entity, that it's in a state of gas, and therefore it doesn't pose a problem of coming from the kum, like Markasha. If so, culture came to have a nailah, the author, then it should certainly be nailah. And I should say, when it started to rain, and the gas was converted into this liquid gas, was converted into water converted into snow, I should say that it's such a fun hadash, it should be a Noelach Gomor, and everybody should say that should be Mukta, and it didn't, that it's not so. The Brisa says the Tariq and Erevin, that the rain and the sun that comes down on Shabbos and Yom is not Mukta. But the Gemara rejects that idea of Maya the evil and evil blue. The Gemara says that if you would have said that word, that the water when it's in the clouds, in the space of here, is Balua in the clouds, and therefore when it rains, you can't think about coming from the Chutz Pachum, because whatever happened before doesn't count, but then it should be Mukta because it's Noelach Gomor. But the Gemara says, you don't say that. It's not mukta. But our Chachamim, what do you see from that Gemara? And the Gemara doesn't relate this chain to the Machlokes of Yehuda Rav Shimon, where the Neilah is also Neilah is mukta. But they said, you see from that Gemara that there are two types of Neilah. If you have a Neilah Gomor, the Rebbeinu Shalom creates something in the middle of Shabbat, the Eshnei Ayin, but the Rebbeinu Shalom is not creating anything. He's retired at one time and he created the shape of vibration, not creating anything. So let's say you have a different kind of a Neilah Gomor. Something is such a shinui gomor, something undergoes such a major change that it looks as if it's a gomor from Chadash Yisroelakam, then everybody would agree that that's mukta. I'll consider it as if this thing really didn't exist in Kol Yom. But if originally Kol Yom was Michael Adam, and now I ate up all the chicken and all I had left are the bones and now it's Michael the Hamas, I say, oh, this is not Neilah Gomor, not that it can be Ashmaiyan. It was Michael A, which converted in the, which changed in the middle of Shabbat Yantin to become Michael B. Or I started off with a kli, or with a table or a chair or whatever, or a box, and then it broke in the middle of Shabbat Yantin, and then it changed to become a different kind of a kli. It has now a different kind of a hishtamshus. In such a case, when it changed, that's Merla Chainer Gomer. The Merla Chainer Gomer brought by Oichel and by Caleb is an Achleitish of Shimon and Rav Yudas. And the deal ought to be, Mark says, the deal ought to be like Rav Shimon, that is Mutta. The Gemara is going to raise the possibility that maybe on Yom Kippur Machmir. That's going to be on the first day. So again, let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's go back. So the Mishnah says that if a hen lays an egg on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, they still will say you're not allowed to eat it on that day. You have to wait till the Shabbos Yom Kippur, till the Shabbos Yom Kippur. And the Shabbos said, there's nothing wrong with the egg. You permitted to eat the egg on Shabbos Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, we don't understand, what are they fighting about? He lay mate, they should say we're talking about a time of the time that just lach, ilah. But this hen is in the Lachilo, so it's labeled as a Michael Nibol Yom, and then it lays the egg in the middle of the day, so why not call it Uchol Zifrasu? How can they fill it with the greatest stress of the imagination? How can they declare this egg as Mukta? We can't understand, it shouldn't be Mukta, it should be the same as slicing a piece of the Kala. But they don't say that that's Pan Chadosh is Bolaka. It's not a Merlot at all. It's not a Merlot Gomor, it's not a Merlot Shemelim, it's a Gomor and a Gomor. So what if a Shemitah Mehaver? Ella, what are you going to tell me? We're talking about time and growth and measures. We've got the old basin. We're talking about an egg farm. And all the hens on the farm are not, none of the hens on the farm are in the Lachila. All of the hens are in the garden basin. So treat the hens as if they're machines. They're not oichel. So if a machine, part of the machine converts to become oichel, so the Gemara says, shouldn't that be Merlach Gomor? Shouldn't that be Merlach Gomor? That even Reb Shimon should agree that that should be mukta. That should be like as if the Rebbeinu Shlom makes something Yesh Meyayin in the middle of the day, but that should be mukta, that's Merlot Gomor. It's not the same as Oichol, Shemishtanu Liyas Olacher, or Kli, Shemishtanu Liyas Kliyach. Merlot Gomor. The Gemara says, Ma'at Amayi B'Shamayi, mukta hu. Everybody should agree that that's mukta. So how Merlot Gomor? The Gemara says, just a minute, in my kasha, why do you think that that's such a strong kasha? But how can they shaman think that if you have a hen, which is a nether, which is Gadiel based, in other words, the hen is a machine, the hen is not labeled as a, the hen is labeled as a machine, and the machine, part of the machine, gives forth an egg, so it's like Lola's Gomer, so it should be Mukta. Mukhala there. The Gomer says, it might cash it, but you get so excited, you don't know they shaman raised to a Mukta, maybe the shaman hold like a shinner, that Lola is not Mukta. Even though it's Merlot, it's not Mukta. The Gemara says, oh no, this cannot be the fault of writing. We in asking the Kasha thought, I feel a man, the Shari, the Mukta, even in front of Rav Shimon. The thousands of me, the Mukta. What kind of Mukta? That's the taste of the conditions are not Mukta. And the ice cream of the potato chips that you had set aside in the Shmur market that you would say you didn't have my tea. That's not Mukta. We thought that even though Rav Shimon holds that that's not Mukta, it's a Merlot, but if you have Merlot Gomor, if you have something that's Mamash upon a Chadosh, if it didn't exist at all before Shabbat Yom Kippur, that Rav Shimon should agree that it was. But then the Gemara here is, my time, I'm the Neshama. How in the world can the Neshama come up to say that he permitted to eat the base of to know that the Shabbat of the Yom Kippur from a time of Gerlis and Medes, and it got the base of that's the story. Time of Gerlis and Medes, the God of Basin was like a machine. And the base of Shimon Gon is Merlot Gomor. It's not like Oichol Shemishtanu Yis Oichol Acher or Kli Shemishtanu Yis Kli Acher. This is a Merlot Gomor and everybody should read this movie. And to the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, no, that's the answer. The other one, Tanakh HaMelech, is out of basis. We're talking about that case, that the hand is in a sheen. The label is in a sheen. For the Israel Mukta, Israel Molach, and Rav Yehuda, who will subscribe to the din of Mukta, he holds it as the din of Molach. For the Leislay Mukta, Leislay Molach, and the point of Rav Shimon, that there's no din of Mukta, so there's no din of Molach, even Molach Gamur. Even if the Rav Shimon would make one before our eyes, Mamash Yesh Neyayim, the bunch will bring down from heaven a plea. So Rav Shimon would hold it, that's not Mukta. Rav Shimon holds that you don't need Hachmona in Oakland and Canaan. Rav Yehuda holds in Yehachon and Oakland and Canaan. If I have the papers and conditions in the closet, I have this food in the freezer, I have the place of tuxedo that I wear to weddings, and all year long I don't wear the tuxedo, only on weddings and important like that. Twice a year I wear the tuxedo. Then one Shabbat I thought I want to wear the tuxedo to shul, and then no, I changed my mind. And an Arab Shabbat, if you were to ask anybody, is he going to wear the tuxedo? He said, the Spanish, no. You ask me, I would say, no, I'm not going to wear it. I changed my mind in the middle, so Rav Yehuda will say that that's Mukta. So, and Rav Shimon will say that it's not Mukta, what's the Machlech? So Rav Yehuda holds that all Oakland and Kalin could be allowed to handle them, to be allowed to eat them on Shabbos, you have to have Hachon and the Dogyam. Oakland and Kalin need Hachon. And Rav Shimon holds that Oakland and Kalin don't need any Hachon. So not only do Rav Shimon hold Oakland and Kalin don't need Hachon, it appetites of the dishes in the closet, I have the ice cream in the freezer, I have the tuxedo in the closet, or something like that. Even if the Rebbe Shlomo makes that bria, yesh meyayin, he makes that kli in front of my eyes, he gives me one, then I shall mind, he creates one, yesh meyayin, Rav Shimon will say, what do I care? You don't need any hafanas, even though Rav Shlomo would open that to you. So that's where Rav Nachman says. Rav Nachman's opinion is an unpopular opinion. That's how the Gemara says in the next draft, there are another three explanations as to why the Shilohs say that they're not ready to eat. So the Gemara says, why doesn't everybody agree to Rav Nachman? The Gemara says, no, nobody holds like Rav Nachman because it is difficulty. Rav Nachman says that if one Rav Shimon on the Leislay Mukta, Leislay Mola, even if it's Melah Gomor, not so. This is quoted the Gemara in Erevin, that the stone of the Gemara is against Rav Nachman. So usually it's not like Rav Nachman. Even Rav Shimon agrees that you need Hachonah, and Oakland and Kalin. He only argues with Rav Yehuda, what type of hachana do you have to have? So whereas if you just say that you have to have hachana sabaylin, that the owner of the ice cream, okay, it's my home, so I own the ice cream, and I own the tuxedo, and I own the case of the division, okay, the husband and the wife. If you would ask them, would they plan to use the dam shabbos? If they would say no, then if you would say that it's mukta. If they say yes, that it's the mumda of the mukta, that they may plan to use it, then it will not be mukta. Whereas if you would say that you need hachonis abaylin, and the okhlam and the kalim, that Shimon is of the opinion that you don't need hachonis abaylin, that anything that's okhlam and kli is mukta me'ela. Even though there is no mumda of the mukta that the abaylin plan to use it at all, but yes, there's a mumda of the mukta that he doesn't plan to use it. They says the conditions with the ice cream for the birthday party, the umdin is that he's not going to use it for that girl, or the shmur about the umdin is that he's not going to use it. But Shimon says, doesn't matter, you don't need hachonis abaylin. He says, roll up, I'm okay, I'm a mukhan me'alein, I have a guilty hachonis. But the next one I'm wearing, when can you say that it's mukhan me'alein, it's automatically mukhan, that's only if it exists, it's the thing that exists. But if the Rebbe Shimon is going to cause something to come to existence, the yesh me'ayin, or let's say the Rebbe Shimon is not causing anything. I'll cause something to come to existence. Or let's say the hand, which is a kind of girl, the Sanedes, the Gabal Basin, so we label it as a machine, lays an egg on Shabbat and Yom Kippur, which is an Eichel. The machine turned into an Eichel. It wasn't an Eichel at all, we called it. Not that it was Eichel egg, it converted to become Eichel B. It wasn't Kuri A, that converted to become Kuri B. It's in Gansan upon Kaldash's Volokan. So if it's in Noah Gomo, we hold our Lachet, but even Rav Shimon would agree that it should be Mukta. And that's the weak point of Rav Nachman's interpretation. Rav Nachman says that the Nishman speaking about the Kanagelis are Nedis with Gadol Beitzer, and what you're talking about is a Beitzer which is no like Gomor. It didn't exist in Dogyom in any form at all of an oracle. It was originally a Kli, a part of the big machine, part of the Kanagelis, which is a machine. And in the middle of Shabbat Yom, it converted to become Oiko, so that's no like Gomor. And Rav Shimon holds that you don't need any hachon in the world on earth of the day. That's his interpretation. That's Then the Gemara says, what are the others? We're going to, whatever we leave outside, we're going to cover next time. Then the Gemara says, but the other on the run had a different interpretation of the mission. So what is Ipshah? So the Gemara has another Ipshah. And on the day, you have based on the day book, that's part of the sheep's stone.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I'll take a look. So the Gemara has on the base on the day, Elo Omar Rabba, right in the middle of base on the day. The line begins with the two words, Omar Rabba. Right in the middle of that base on the day. Elo Omar Rabba, Liyoylam Tanagelet Ameres Lachilo. He disagrees with Rav Nachman Shem. If you're talking about a Tanagel, it's a Medes Ligado, based in the label of Tanagel as a machine. And the eggs are on Echel, that's no not Gomor. That's no not Gomor. Even Rav Shimon, even Meshama, everybody would agree that it would be Mukhtar there. That's no not Gomor. That's Mashal Amar Dabzen, and Bashal is going to create none in the middle of Shabbos. Everybody would agree that that would be Mukhtar. Everybody would hold that no not Gomor should be Mukhtar. So obviously that's not the case. We're talking Tanagolot HaMedes LaChilo. I Tanagolot HaMedes LaChilo, so the day before that should be like taking a big challah and cutting a slice out of the challah that Ruchlet Yifrat. Ayachol Shemitrat. Ayachol Kotna Shemitrat. Ayachol Zavu. So why should you label that as Mukhtar? What's the issue of Mukhtar? The Rabbah has a different interpretation and has nothing to do with anything. He says, what would be if you would have Shabbos and Yom Tov one next to the other? And a base would be nulled on the second day. So physically, when was that base completed inside the body of the hen? The rabbi claims that it was completed the day before. We're talking about Yom Tov next to Shabbos, 2 days in a row. What's Hachonah? The Kassava rabbi, rabbi is of the opinion that there's a physical principle, a biological principle, co-basis in the Seal Devil Isna. If a hen lays an egg today, you must assume the Yesmo Gomolo. The other Amoraim are not so convinced that the biology is true. But that's what Rabbah claims. It must be that it was completed yesterday. As long as it was completed yesterday. So the hen didn't have Amoloch. The hen is not even a Gosh. Even if it wants to convert, it can convert. The hen is a Habehena. So what's wrong? It has nothing to do with the Moloch. No, this is Hachon of the Rabbi. The Rabbah is Tanei. Rabbi learns that from a prophet. It says in the Chumash that you have to, the nun is not going to fall down either on Shabbos nor on Yom Tov. On Erev Shabbos and on Erev Yom Tov, there will be, like a Mishnah, there will be a double portion. Why are you asking me? Anyway, the Shayaviyu, so from that prophet we derive the whole neck of the Shabbos and the whole neck of the Yom Tov. Any hachmanis for Shabbos and Yom Tov have to be made in both Yom. And you're not permitted to do a hachmanis neither on Yom Tov for Shabbos nor on Shabbos for Yom Tov. So what has it got to do with anything? We're talking about doing, so the hen didn't have air. The hen didn't do any up air. So you see that there's two dinim included in the process. That's what you see from the Gemara. There's one din that Rabbah understands in that process that it's prohibited to make a hachana on Yom Tov for Shabbos or Shabbos for Yom Tov. And there's another din that if you have food that was improperly hukam, then you have Shabbos and Yom Tov next to each other. And I want to eat food on the second day that was prepared on the first day. So there's an Easter Diaraisa that the Rabbah mentioned in the Pasuk. There's a biblical Easter against eating that food. If food was prepared on Yom Tov for Shabbos or Shabbos for Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat that food on the second day. But that's the story, by the way. Nothing to do with the fact that an Aver was done. The hen doesn't do any Averis. The hen is not even a goy. It's certainly not a Jew, it's not even a goy. It's not being any other by the fact that it's the complete basin inside the NAI. But even though it's Ucham Beheter, but to prepare on Yom Tov, the Shabbos Yom Tov, even though the hen didn't violate any Easter, you can't say it's violating other. But we're not allowed to eat such food that was improperly Ucham. So that's how Rab interprets the issue. That if you would have Yom Tov next to Shabbos, the basin that I'm older on the second day would be also Bachila, Min HaTorah. Even if you have a plain Shabbos or a plain Yom Tov, it's not next to a Yom Tov or a Shabbos. It's also in the Rabbanon to eat the Beit Mishanoda. They were up to a Beit Mishanoda, the Shabbos of the Yom Tov, which is next to a Yom Tov or a Shabbos. That's how Rabbi interprets the mission. How do you have a Hakonya? Yeah. as an edge, as a separate entity, we treat it as a devil shlobolia. Let's say I have an animal that I have a cow that's pregnant with a calf. And I wanna be magdish to calf as a carbon. So the Gemara says you can't be magdish as a carbon a piece of flesh. Lamb trap, you can't be magdish. You have to be magdish a lamb, you have to be magdish a calf. So it wasn't born yet. So to be magdish as a carbon, that's the devil shlobolia. What about to sell it to somebody else? So just like I can sell a slice of meat, I can sell an Uber that's inside my A-Ema. So the purpose of selling is not a Dovish Lord Boliyam, but the purpose of being Magdish. The Torah is an animal, it's Lord Boliyam, but the Torah is a stipulation, it's Lord Boliyam, it's really there. It's not existent. So that's what the Gemara says, that in this case, the Gemara of yesterday has the thing is completed inside the Bnei Me'ar. It is there. You don't say that it's not existent, it's not a concept. That's the Tosfos says over here. How can Rabbi say that there's two dinim in Hachana the Rabbi? There's an issue to prepare on Shabbos beyond the Shabbos, that a Jew is not allowed to prepare. And then there's another din, even if the chicken did the preparing, even if it's a natural phenomenon, natural process, you're not allowed to eat on the second day whatever was prepared on the first day, even though it's prepared naturally, they had to go on. The Tosfos says, how can it be that there's such an issue, the right to the first one, that you're not allowed to prepare on Yom Tov, the Shabbos, the Yom Tov? The how in the world we have an institution of Eretz Hashimon. All Eretz Hashimon is only the Rabbanim. It's not possible in the Chumash to make an Eretz Hashimon. But the whole meat of Eretz Hashimon is only the Rabbanim. In HaTorah, you're permitted to cook, eat more chaz and Eretz Hashimon. But there's just a Rabbi says that it's an issue of the right of HaChonah. There's not allowed to prepare on Yom Tov, the Shabbos, and the right. How can Eretz Hashimon accomplish that? That says it's Kasha and Adah. But if it's a Kasha and Adah, we're going to have to learn that thing. It's important to know. Maybe I'm not, because all the name of Ashish is taking it off that thing. We're leaving that a lot just to figure out what the four interpretations are in the Mishnah. So again, they still will say in the Mishnah that a Beitza that's molded, the Shabbos of the Yom, says you're not allowed to eat, and we don't know what's wrong with it. But the first shot is Rav Nachman, that we're talking about a Tamagurlis and Medes with Gadel Beitza. We label it as a machine. And the basin that come out from a machine are oichon. A machine gives out a oichon, no love goma. Marshall can't ever done it like the Rebbeinu can create more. So what's the deal of no love goma? So Rav Nachman claims that no love goma depends on the machlekes of Yuri of Shimon. If Shimon says you don't need our father for oichon and kelim. Not that he holds that all oichon and kelim are mucham ne'alei. You don't need our father, so even no love goma is also me. And that's the machlokes, the shayla b'tzil, whether you hold like Rav Yehuda, you hold like Rav Shimon. And the other Amoraim don't accept Rav Nachman's interpretation. We hold that it's wrong. While Rav Shimon also is masking that you need achana in Ochon and Kalim, he just says you don't need achana to Abaylin. But every Ochon and Kalim is mucha meyelo. Even though the umbid and the mucha chizah, you don't plan to use it. But I say it's mucha meyelo. But if the thing didn't exist, it's all young. If it's another Ochon, the Kalim called it mucha meyelo. So that's why no one holds like Rav Nachman. The rabbi gives the next interpretation of Mishnah. No. If you would be talking about Tanagurlis on Medes, Legado, Basin, then the basin that come out would be on Nerla Drummer, and there wouldn't be anybody who would disagree. Everybody would agree that it's Nerla Drummer and it's Mukta. There wouldn't be any Machlokes there. It would be awesome, blah, blah. They're talking about Tanagurlis on Medes, Lachilo. So there's no Nerla Drummer. Bigger problem, the problem of Hachana the Rabbi. One of the rabbis is in the right, which has two parts to it. Number one, you're not permitted, a Jew is forbidden to prepare on Yom Tov, the Shabbos, Shabbos, the Yom Tov. You have to figure out what that means. And then there's another that even if the chicken prepared, even if it's a hachon of the Shaman, it's got prepared by itself, it has a gomer. Through some natural process, you're forbidden to eat on the second day, when you have a Yom Tov next to a Shabbos, you're forbidden to eat on the second day, whatever had a hachon, an improper hachon in memory, on a Shabbos for a Yom Tov, a Yom Tov for a Shabbos. And the Mishnah that talks about a Beit Shemol, about a plain Yom Tov, that's not after Shabbos, or a Shabbos that's not after Yom Tov, that's only a Gzeira Derabbanan, up to the case where you have Yom Tov next to Shabbos, in which case it would be an Yom Tov Derayim. The other Amoraim don't subscribe to the Hachon of the Rabbi. Who's in the Hachon of the Rabbi, the Yom Tov Derayim? So they give another two interpretations. So on the bottom of the Daf, bottom of the Daf, the Gemara says
Rabbi Yosef Amar, second line from the bottom of Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Yosef gives the third shot in the Mishnah. Has nothing to do with Melat Gomor. We're talking about a Beis Hamikdash and Medes Lachila. So there's no Melat Gomor. And he doesn't hold like Rabbi Din, one of the Rabbi, Yosef the Shabbos, doesn't believe in us. Talking a normal hen, it's a Medes Lachila, lays an egg, and you're still not allowed to eat it. What could be wrong? Why is it awesome? He says, there is a din that Teres on Oshrim, the fruit that fell off from the tree on in the middle of Shabbos Yom, or it's there, the Rabban Yonah, by the Yidin Shema Yalavi Yitlosh, the Bnei Rit, the Ruach. But even though the Gzeh only applies when there's a Malacha dipping off, what should I have to go stick your hand inside the hand and pull out the egg? Nobody ever does that. But since it looks like Teres on Oshrim, it's included in that Gzeh. Whatever the Chachamim make it clear is that the Gzeir applies to all cases that are included, even if the reason for the Gzeir doesn't apply. So here, the reason Shem Yalav Yitlosh certainly doesn't apply, nobody ever pulls, yanks out the eggs from inside the hand, but the Gzeir applies. That's what Rabbi Yosef claims, is the Gzeir Mishum Teres Hanosh. So the simple reading of Rabbi Yosef is that when our parents forbidden to rip off Teres from the tree on Shabbat Yom, with the Rabban Yunus, the Teres fell down by themselves, it's forbidden to eat them because of the Gzeira Shem Yitlosh. And now they made another Gzeira Ligzeira. You're not allowed to eat the basis and also of the Shabbat Yom, the Gzeira that you may eat Teres that fell down, which in turn is the Gzeira that you may rip off the Teres from the tree. And the mother says, what do you mean? You're not allowed to do this to the Rabban. Let's do that to the Rabban. Let's do anything to the right. It's not a Gzeira Ligzeira. The Rabban have no right to make a Gzeira Ligzeira. So the Gemara reinterprets this, not that Rabbi Yosef meant to say Gzeir Mishum, Teres HaNoshim. He holds that this is included in the Gzeir, Teres HaNoshim. When they said this, Teres HaNoshim, they said any food that falls off of where it was sitting before. If I had a challah on the table and it falls off on the table, that's not Teres HaNoshim. That means somehow it was attached, it was connected with something else, and wasn't in a state that it could be eaten there. And then it breaks off. Now you can eat it, but that's all included in Teres HaNoshim. And the next mandam in the Gemara, on the third line on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, Yitzchak Amar says, it's not the same as Rav Yosef, but it's slight variation. Not that it's part of the Teres HaNoshim, but rather part of the Teres HaMashka Shizobu. They cannot let us squeeze out fruit on Shabbos and Yom Tov. People know you're not allowed to squeeze out lemons on Shabbos into the sea. And Yom Tov people think they should permit it to squeeze out the lemons. That's on that fish. So the Torah on that Gimel Amud Aleph says no. That just whatever you're not allowed to squeeze out on Shabbos, maybe there's you are allowed to squeeze lemons. But the way it's generally assumed that it's forbidden to squeeze out lemons on Shabbos, then it's the same thing on Yom Tov. Whatever fruit you're not allowed to squeeze on Shabbos, you're not allowed to squeeze on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says not only is it forbidden to squeeze out the fruits on Shabbos, even if the juice came out by itself, let's say I have a grapefruit. And I have a spoon and I'm taking out the grapefruit. If I'm taking out, let's say I cut out the grapefruit or something like that with a knife. And then by cutting it with a knife, or by taking out the pieces with the spoon, they have a little bit of juice collected. So is it permissible to drink that juice or not? We'll have to discuss it a little more in detail, but this the simple reading of the Gemara sounds like it's a bit. They made it very good up on it. You're not allowed to drink mashtish or double. May I lay in the juice that came out from the fruit, even though no one violated any malacha by squeezing it out, you're not allowed to drink it. It's very shamel yitzchot. So you may go ahead and squeeze it out. Around Yitzchok is on the opinion that the date is Shinoza, rather than say that it falls under the category of Teres HaNoshim, it makes more sense then to say that it falls under the category of Mashka Shezobu, because a raw egg is liquidy. So it's more similar to Mashka Shezobu, which is liquid. And the other Amora Rav Yitzchok says no, the Mashka Shezobu is a beverage. Egg is liquid, but it's not a beverage, it's oichel. Egg is an oichel. It's a liquid oichel. So he holds it. This holds it. It makes more sense to say it falls under the category of Teres HaNoshim. But basically what you have in Mari is four interpretations of the mission. Four reasons why in the world did the Tillel say, what do they have against the Beit HaShinol Beyond? Why did the Tillel say that you're not allowed to eat the Beit HaShinol Beyond? The original one was Rav Nachman, he says, you're talking about a Neulat Gomor. And Neulat Gomor, by our time, he goes on that this Megamu Beitzim is a machine. And he gives off an egg to the egg is a Neulat Gomor. And Neulat Gomor is a Machlekes Beisham and Yisus. Neulat Gomor is a Machlekes of Shin and Rav Yudah. The rabbi says, no, it's an issue of Hachonet. And the last one we're on, having come, either part of the Zerah of Teres HaNoshim, So I started him there in Mashma Shukha. Okay, we're going to have to work out more detail. Yes. At the very end, the Parshas Lech we have the first mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah of Brit Mila. So the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the name of Abraham at the time of the Brit Mila. And the Gemara says in the end of the first Torah from Baruch Hu that whoever calls Abraham Adina by his original name violates an Avera, currently Abraham. Abraham, Oyle the Esther, because the Baruch Hu said, Lo Yikor Yashim Abraham, Yim Abraham Yeshnev. So then the Gemara says on that graph at the end of the first Torah in Baruch Hu said, what about Yaakov? Originally his name was Yaakov, and then his name was changed to be Yisrael, so should you say that whoever refers to Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov violates an Avera? So the Gemara says, no, it only applies to Abraham and it doesn't apply to Yaakov. What's the difference between Abraham and Yaakov? Right, there's no proof in the Chumash that this distinction is correct. So what is the deal? Why should I distinguish between Avraham Avinu and Yaakov Avinu? So the Mahashoah gives a simple interpretation. He says Avraham Avinu gave him a goy when he was born. So he had a goy, he had a goyish name, James, Christy, whatever, Paul, a real goyish name, Abram, a real goyish name. But then when the Rabbanim gave him the midst of this mila, he converted, he became Jewish. So it's not right that a yish should retain a goyish name, but the Rosh Hashanah gave him a yish name. So again, like Kol Yeshim Chavam Kima Rom Yeshmecho, the Kol Abba is going to have a yish name. Yankov Bina was born a Jew. Yitzchak was born a Jew. Yankov was born a Jew. Later on, when they got more mitzvahs, more kedusha, so they were elevated to higher levels of Yerush Hashanah. But it's not that originally they were good. But there's nothing wrong with the name that his father gave by the priest. His name was Yankov. So later on he got another name, he's also what's possible with the name Yankov, so he maintains the name of Yankov. That's how the Mahashoah comes. So the Achronim points out that we have a minig that we won't give a baby a name until the Brit. This minig is based on Avraham Avinu, that Hashem Yisrael gave him his name at the time of his Brit. And Shabbat, he quotes this in the state of Matan Moshe. Matan Moshe was the Talmud of the Mahashoah. So the Matan Moshe says that even though it's in a Dema, even though there's no Tushta, because Avraham Avinu, the reason why you had to have a new name is because the first one didn't have goyish name. So the Baruch Hu wanted to change the name, but by yours, if you give a kid, the kid is born a Jew. So you give him a name, Yankov Shmerel, Verachatzel, give him a name when he's born. It's a Yiddish name, so why do you have to give him a different name by the priest? Because even though there's really no tushta, because by yours, the children are not born Jewish. So what's wrong if you give a name before? Nevertheless, he said, that's the minute. So you change the name at the time of the... Thank you.